First, Second Kings, First Chronicles. First Chronicles, chapter 4. Let me just show you where we're at, starting with chapter 4, verse 1. The sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, Shobal. We're in a genealogy. And you see how it goes then. Verse 5, Ashur, father of Tekoa, had two wives, Helan and Naras. And then verse 8, Kaz begat Anub, Zobibah, and the families of Aharhel, the sons of Haram. And then suddenly, the curtains part, and we're introduced to Jabez. He's not mentioned before, he's not mentioned after. There's a city later named Jabez. We may assume there was some connection, but that would be an assumption. But let's look at verses 9 and 10 then. And since I neglected to send this to Seth, we'll have to do it the old-fashioned way, just listen to the preacher. The prayer of Jabez, 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. It says this, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, and that word means sorrowful, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest, the Hebrew here has it, if thou wilt, bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me, the Hebrew literally says, do me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. So that's a pretty good story. It's a story of a man who knew how to work through prayer, how to accomplish things by prayer. All that we know of him is found here. The passage then memorialized him as a man of prayer who labored for God through prayer. But I want you to notice three things concerning this account of Jabez. I want you to notice with me the man, then we'll look at his prayer, and then we'll look at the answer that he received. So first of all, the man who prayed. In verse 9 it says that he was more honorable than his brethren, but his mother called him Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. So in this verse, two matters concerning his history are mentioned. One is his adverse background. His mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. It seems to me that since almost every birth is accompanied by pain and sorrow, it is unlikely that this child among his brothers was named sorrowful because of labor pains. Now, it could have been that he was breech and all kinds of problems were happening. That's possible. But the idea of bearing him, it seems to me that the name was given because of the circumstances surrounding his conception and birth. The name literally means causing pain or causing sorrow. So whether it refers to the child himself, some have thought maybe he was really ugly, deformed in some way, or to the condition of the family at the time. Nothing is mentioned of a father here. Maybe that the father died. Maybe that the father ran away. But something caused problem. And so Jabez, with his brethren and his mother, had some sort of a time of sorrow. Jabez had a family circle. We see his mother, we see his brothers, but they are left nameless for us. What we find is that some people are born to privilege and wealth, their success in life is pretty much taken for granted. When a child is born under sad conditions, sorrowful conditions, then usually little hope is held for his success. Jabez, then, is the exception. So whatever the sad conditions, the adverse background, it was something that did not stop him, nor does it need to stop anyone, really, especially when you can work through prayer. So I said there were two matters here, his adverse background, but his outstanding honor is the contrast to that. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. The Hebrew word for honorable in this particular form means to be made heavy, weighty, be honored, to enjoy honor, to be made abundant, to get oneself glory or honor, or to gain glory. Early Jewish writers connected Jabez to the town mentioned in 1 Chronicles 2:55. This verse says, "And the families of the scribes," these were writers, writers of the law, writers of the scripture, copiers of the scripture, "which dwelt at Jabez," and it mentions who these families of the scribes were, the Tirathites, the Shimeathites, and the Sukkothites. These are the Kenites that came of Hemath, the father of the house of Rechab. These early Jewish writers concluded that Jabez was a doctor of the law. The Jewish Targum adds, "and wiser in the law than his brethren." And so they imagine that his scholarship drew so many around him to learn that the place became known by his name. That's why the scribes were there. There is, however, no known connection between the man and the town. We have read everything that there is about that. So we can imagine that, and it's nice, I think, to imagine a child born in poor circumstances who gave himself to scholarship, gave himself to learning, and excelled at that, to where people came and gathered around him. But here's the thing. The only thing we know for sure is that he was a man of prayer. This is, of course, a field of endeavor that's open to everyone, to every believer. Jabez did not allow the circumstances of his birth, whatever they were, to make him feel restricted in the blessings of God. He did not consider himself doomed to a life of failure. A boy like me, what can ever happen to me? And this man is brought up in the passage, in this passage, to showcase his success in life as a result of prayer. Clearly, that's what this is about. All right, the second thing then that we need to see here is the prayer he prayed. Here's an example of a prayer that was answered of God. Look at the first part of verse 10. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." If we notice, first of all, to whom he prayed, we see it was to the God of Israel. We don't know anything else about Jabez, but he does seem to be an Israelite praying to the God of Israel. This could refer to the God of Jacob, who is also named Israel. Or it could, and I think more probably, refer to the God of the nation of Israel. God had changed Jacob, the deceiver, into Israel, the prince with God. But I think it's more likely it refers to the nation. If that's the case, we see that Jabez thought of himself as a member of the great nation of Israel. The great privilege of Israel was to have Jehovah as their God. He had claimed them. He had rescued them. He had made them a nation. God's record of helping Israel was already given fully in the Bible. Jabez then, reading the Bible, understanding the Bible, being taught the Bible, understood that God had entered into a covenant with the nation. So he realized, I have a relationship here, so I may call upon him with the full assurance of faith that I will receive an audience with the Lord. Well, Christians have been brought near to God through Christ's new covenant. We have a covenant relationship with him as well, you see. And the promises to us that he will hear us when we pray. So to whom did he pray? The God of Israel. How he prayed. The phrase says, "Oh, that thou wouldest." The Hebrew literally says, "If thou wilt." And it's actually in the form of a vow. Now, it's a partial form, an unfinished form, but it's like the beginning of Genesis 28, 20 and 21. This is Jacob praying, vowing a vow. Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall Jehovah be my God." So that ended the vow. If God will show himself a God that I can depend on, then I claim him as my God. But here, Jabez gives something of an unfinished vow. Such vows were left unfinished. They were often uttered in prayer at the time that a man was entering into an important activity, perhaps even a critical activity, running off into the warfare or something like that. And we don't know what he was vowing to do if God blessed him. The vow, in fact, almost seems to be interrupted by the divine fulfillment of the request. It may have been one of those times that God answered even before the asking was accomplished. So how he prayed, it was something of a vow, saying, "I will give my life, I will dedicate myself if he will bless me in this way." Now let's look at what he prayed, and we see there are several things here. First of all, he prayed for a divine blessing. "Bless me indeed." I want you to realize what Jabez is doing here. He considered, of all the things he could ask for, he considered the divine blessing of greater importance than material things. And so he made it his first request. How wise is that to say, you know, "I'd like a new car. But is that going to be a car that's going to be good for me or bad for me?" See? So before that, let's ask for God's blessing and then our need for transportation. Matthew Poole said this, "I trust not to my own or people's valor," speaking as though he were Jabez, "I trust not to my own or people's valor, but only to thy blessing and help." So Jabez knew that without God's blessing, all other things are of but little value. In this, Jabez then recognized a truth that many Israelites forgot when they turned to the idols of the nations around them. Here's a man that's faithful, asking for the blessing from God. What about us? Well, Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So we may ask for what he has promised, may we not? Ask for the divine blessing. But he went beyond that. He asked for divine enlargement. He says, enlarge my coast. The word can mean enlarge my border. So Jabez was praying for more land, it seems, to possess. You say, well, then he's a greedy old person and so on. But before we condemn it as greedy and selfish, let's consider the background of the request. On the one hand, he may have been preparing, because in this period of time, they still had not taken all of the promised land. So he may have been preparing to take more of God's promised possession from the Canaanites. We find earlier, Joshua 13:1, now Joshua was old and stricken in years. The Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. God doesn't mince words, does he? And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Very much land to possess it, literally. So if this is the case, then Jabez can be pictured as asking God to give him more of that that God had promised to his people. So think of it then as, instead of lazily waiting for some occupied territory to fall into his lap, he prayed that God would help him take what was promised. Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary says this: the enterprise was in all probability the expulsion of the Canaanites from the territory he occupied. And this was a war of extermination, which God himself had commanded. His blessing could be the more reasonably asked and expected in preserving them from all the evils to which the undertaking might expose him. And so perhaps he became a hero of sorts, clearing the land and giving it to Israel. There's another possibility. Jabez may be pictured here as asking God to enable him to restore the fortunes of his family. Perhaps the sorrowful conditions of his birth was loss, you see. He seeks to repossess all the land given to his family by divine allotment. Maybe that was lost along the way. So he asks for that to be the case. Well, in that case, then Jabez is seeking to repair the failures of the past within the family circle and to renew the hopes of the rising generation of the future. Is it possible for us to ask for such material blessings, for such increase? I think so. William E. Blackstone, he lived 1841 to 1935, was an American evangelist, a Christian Zionist. He was longed for the land to be given to Israel. He was influenced by Dwight L. Moody, James H. Brooks, and John Nelson Darby. In the prime of his life, while involved in the business of building and property investments, he exclaimed, oh, that God would give me $1,000,000. You say, what a greedy man. He goes on, I would use every penny for the evangelization of the world. You say, well, I've heard that type of thing before. But God placed in his capable hands $5,000,000. And true to his word, he became a good steward of the fund. Many came to know the Lord because Blackstone asked God to enlarge my coast. So that's not an impossible thing for us to do for the glory of God. So he asked for divine enlargement, but he also asked for divine strengthening. Maybe that's not the best word, but he says that thy right hand might be with me. Asking for God's hand shows his desire for God's guidance, like the child holding the parent's hand, but it also asks for his power. The hand of God is the hand of power. So when you ask for that, if he's asking for guidance, what is he admitting? His ignorance, you see. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. If he's asking for power, he is confessing before God his own weakness. And that's a good thing. I tried to look up who in the world this Saint Teresa was, but everybody just goes back to this old quote, and so that's all I know of her. But Saint Teresa was laughed at because she wanted to build an orphanage but had only 3 shillings. I don't know how much that is, but evidently not enough to build, buy property and build an orphanage. But she said, quote, "With 3 shillings, Teresa can do nothing. But with God and 3 shillings, there is nothing that Teresa cannot do." I like Teresa. Christ said, John 15:5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, or severed from me, you can do nothing. But we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us." And then the fourth thing I want you to notice in his prayer, he asked for divine protection. Divine protection. "That thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." Now, evil here, evil in the Old Testament can mean harm and misfortune, or it can mean wickedness. The two sort of meet here, because Jabez knew that if he succumbed to moral evil, the chastisement of God would result in loss and harm, physical evil. So this is like, I think, what Christ urged us to pray in the Lord's Prayer: "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Matthew Henry, commentator, said this: "That he would keep him from evil, the evil of sin, the evil of trouble, all the evil designs of his enemies, that they might not hurt him, nor grieve him, nor make him a Jabez indeed, a man of sorrow." In the original, there is an allusion to his name: "Father in heaven, deliver me from evil." So this may be the very situation that he's looking at. I've had a history of sorrow. Lord, keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. The order of Jabez's petition shows a logical progression. He began by asking for the blessings of God to be his greatest good. This led him to desire a larger share of the riches that God had prepared for his people. The recognition of what that would require of him led him then to acknowledge his own ignorance and weakness and ask for guidance and empowerment. Then he did not desire independence, but asked for the fatherly protection from God. So we see in this what he prayed for. And that's a pretty good prayer. But we are encouraged in this because of the answer he received. The last part of verse 10. "And God granted him that which he requested." I guess, finally, the ultimate test of every prayer is the answer that it receives. The answer was received, and God granted him. The word "granted" here is more literally "brought about." God brought it about. The fulfillment of his desires was not due to luck, but came as a result of God bringing it to pass. Let me give you a poem by Eliza Hickok. I think it was Wild Bill's sister. I don't know. No. Eliza Hickok. She said this: "I know not by what methods rare, but this I know: God answers prayer. I know that he was given his word. I know that he has given his word, which tells me prayer is always heard and will be answered soon or late. And so I pray and calmly wait. I know not if the blessing sought will come in just the way I thought, but leave my prayers with him alone, whose will is wiser than my own. Assured that he will grant my quest or send some answer far more blessed." So we see that the answer was received, but we see also
that it was an exact answer. It says that which he requested. So Jabez received what he asked for. The answer is the evidence that his prayer, think of it, was in the will of God for him. This accomplished God's will because the answer was given. 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence that we have in or concerning him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. The prayer of Jabez furthered Jehovah's intention for his people. Jameson Fawcett Brown again said this: God in this instance proved that he not only was not only the hearer, but the answerer of prayer. This prayer of faith, desiring only God's will and the honor of his name, is always a mighty power for the advancement of God's work. So I think we can learn something from old Jabez. Not wrong to ask to have your borders increased, but just make sure that it's in the will of God. Comments or questions?